We have Manscaped, Rory and I, and he uses it for all his man parts, and I use it on my bush. So, they market it to men, and it's probably smart. It works for them. They are fantastic, Manscaped, but make no mistake, you can use it on your bush. I mean, your pussy, your vagina one. Anyway, gift your man Manscaped this holiday season so his tree stands taller, if you know what I mean. Oh, because he's like trimming down his bush and his penis looks bigger. Help him join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and save 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/silverman. And guess what? Manscaped just launched the Body Buffer, the perfect addition to his shower routine to use with his refined body wash. No female or unisex version of this. This is the man's version. You have to be very masculine to use it. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/silverman. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/silverman. I do love it. Get him the best gift of all from Manscaped. His balls will thank you. Hi, everyone. It's your best friend in the whole world, Sarah Silverman. Here we are. I officially think, oh, it's so sad to say that I've played basketball for the last time. Did I say basketball? Basketball. I played basketball for the last time. I'm pretty sure I did. The last time I played basketball before this was March 2020. Played my regular Sunday game. Went off to New York and COVID started and I haven't played since. And then I played like a week ago. It was a Tuesday. And I knew I wouldn't just snap right back into it, but I still thought, I still like brought a joint. Usually after a couple games, I'll have a puff and then it's like a whole new experience where I either am shittier or I'm incredible, like totally in the zone, floating, flying. And then I can't even believe I brought pot at all. I was dying. I was so out of breath. My whole body hurt. It was embarrassing. I was, definitely the oldest one there and the only woman. And it was, I did fine. The guys were cool. I didn't know anyone. My friend Brian Moses invited me to this pickup game and then came for like 5 minutes in the middle, played like one game and left. So it was all new people, which is fine. And everyone was cool. I like to talk shit. But I was so bad. I mean, I got one 3-point shot. And besides that, I was just focusing on setting picks and stuff, but I was dying. I mean, literally, it was full court. So every time the ball turned around and I was on defense, I was like, pick up my guy. Someone pick up my guy. It's humbling, to say the least. But then also, I should point out, there were exactly 10 people there. So we actually played 4-on-4 with just two, one substitute for each team. And so it was constant. You played every game and it was too much, much too much. And I really thought, I'm always thinking of that director, Ted Demme, that like died on the basketball court at like 53. And that makes me think, he died doing what he loved. And then that makes me think of a line from the Sarah Silverman program because I'm so self-referential where Jay Johnston is sobbing because his new best friend died. I killed him. And Laura, his girlfriend, my sister, says, he died doing what he loved. And Jay says, he loved dying? Anyway, this is a real stream of consciousness opener today. But all this to say, I don't know if I'll go back. I mean, listen, if I do the proper stretching before and like a full half hour of stretching after,
I know that's the smartest way to do it if I am going to do it. And the more I play, the more my body will be used to it, the all the different muscles that I wasn't used to using for the past almost 3 years. Anyway, yeah, part of me feels like just cut your losses because, you know, finally towards the end, I got over that hump and I wasn't exhausted. I was kind of like in that zone and there were 4 minutes left that we had the gym and I go, I could quit now. I am uninjured. But they go, come play the last 4 minutes because, you know, they want to play. And it's like everyone counted. By that time, there was only enough for all of us to play. And so I played. And in that time, those last 4 minutes, I hurt my hip and my knee. I mean, it's not like I went, you know, I still kind of like hobbled through it. But I got home and I was just like, fuck. And I just, my whole body hurt the next few days. But do I stay with it? I don't know. It brings me so much joy, but it is really not good for you. And I'm so pissed because my body's just broken. And I went to like a back specialist guy and he's really helped me a lot. But he said, I go, I don't understand. I've exercised. I've played sports my whole life. And he goes, yeah, that's why you're broken now. The people who didn't do shit growing up are in great, great health. Their bodies don't hurt. So there's some advice for you. Don't do anything. Then there's another part of me, you know, I've got this like e-bike and it's so fun to ride around and I wear a helmet, but I'm just waiting to hurt myself doing that. And then part of me goes, just don't do it. I don't want to get hurt. I don't even want to like, I don't want to break my arm or my leg. But I don't know, at what point do you take yourself out of a tower and of protection and just, you know, live life a little? I don't know. There's probably a happy medium, but I live in my first ever house, probably my last. I think this is it. What, am I going to move again? I guess once the next time I move will be when I can't make it upstairs. What a shitty time to move. When you're too old to make it upstairs, you're going to pack up your shit? Ugh. Anyway, I look at my stairs and I go, how many more years am I going to? This is terrible. What is this? The end? I'm only 51. I'm literally in training just for to live, you know, to like be able to go upstairs when I'm in my 80s and stuff. But we have a pool. So I own a pool. I got a little pool in the backyard and now it's like we can swim in it. And so now I swim every day because I don't want to waste that I have a pool. And I have to admit, I have bathed considerably less since having this pool. I should be showering more because there's chlorine all over me. But I was taking a bath today and I hadn't taken a bath in a few days, nor shower. Because you feel so clean when you get out of the pool, you're all chlorinated. It's like drying. It feels like you were scrubbed with like a borax or something. Is borax a thing? Clorox? I don't know. But you know, you feel like antiseptic. And my hair, you know, you can't really tell, but it's like getting lighter from the chlorine. My boyfriend's like, your hair's getting lighter. You can see brown streaks through it. And I was like, I love it. I don't want to protect my hair from it. I mean, my hair's dry anyway, as the last words my mother said to me on her deathbed will attest. She said, your hair, it's so dry. I never am able to lighten my hair because it's so dark and it's very hard to do that. And I'm enjoying it. Also, I'm finding with the chlorine, my hair is curly. I know people think that my hair is naturally curly because I'm a Juden, but it's not. It's actually straight, wavy at best, but I have straight hair, not pin straight, but it's thick, straight, coarse hair. And with the pool, I don't know what it is, the chemicals, it's been like wavy. This is a great story. Let's take some calls.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemail.
Okay, succinct. I have a housekeeper that I absolutely adore, but she keeps bringing up why I don't have children with my boyfriend. And she's really sweet and amazing. And she's from the Philippines, where I think like child-free just is not a thing. And most people who shame me for my choice, I shut them down so fucking fast. But I don't want to be rude to her. I really, really like her. And I've gently told her, oh, it's just not for us. I love it for other people, but it's just not for us. But she brought it up again. It's like the fourth time. So do I get a new housekeeper, which is really hard in the city? Or do I just shut her down harder? A really nice lady from the Philippines on the fence. What do you think?
Absolutely not. Okay, I agree. There is no need to shut her down. Like, she's from another culture. She's probably from another time. And she means it with love. That said, yeah, no, it's annoying as fuck. I get it. I most certainly get it. This is what I think you should do. But it involves lying, which I don't, you know, really like to promote, you know. But when she mentions it again, look sad and say, I haven't told you because you're so sweet and you always ask and I didn't want you to feel badly, but we're unable to have children. It's a source of incredible sadness for us, but we're getting through it the best we can. Boom. You think that's a good, I think that would work. It's like this comedian, my friend Craig Anton, has grown twins now. They're grown women now, but I used to babysit when they were little. I remember he had a joke, and I'm sure it came from, you know, real, which is he had twins and he'd walk around with twins and constantly, are they twins? Oh, are they twins? You know, like, and it was just, he was so annoyed by it that when people said, are they twins? He'd go, no, they're the surviving members of septuplets. And then that's it. No more question. Good luck. What else?
Here's some ads.
If you've thought about securing your home with home security but have been putting it off, you're going to want to listen up, because right now the Sarah Silverman podcast listeners can order the number one rated Simply Safe home security system for 50% off. This is their biggest offer of the year and you won't want to miss it. Here's why I love it. It's simple and it's safe. And it takes care of everything. I've given Simply Safe to friends and loved ones. My good friend Brett used it for his entire house. Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by US News and World Report for a third year in a row. In an emergency, professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real, so you can get faster police dispatch. Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door. HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you only when the threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. With the top-rated Simply Safe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or adjust system settings. Don't miss your chance for massive savings on this amazing security system. Get 50% off any new system at simplysafe.com/Silverman today. This is their biggest discount of the year. That's simplysafe.com/Silverman. There is no safe like Simply Safe. You know, we all had our favorite bedtime story growing up, tales that had us feeling cozy in our beds and ready for a good night's sleep. Some of us enjoyed a fairy tale ending. Others preferred lighthearted mysteries. I used to do those choose your own adventures. Why shouldn't we have the same comfortable feelings as adults while we drift off to sleep? Calm's immersive sleep stories make falling into a relaxed and restorative slumber a breeze, bringing you back to the well-rested nights of childhood. We're partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Reduce stress and anxiety through guided meditations, improve focus with curated music tracks, and rest and recharge with Calm's imaginative sleep stories for children and adults. There's even new daily movement sessions designed to relax your body and uplift your mind. I just used Calm. I got my tonsils out, one of the worst experiences of my life, just extreme pain. But I used Calm, the Calm app, and I used like anxiety and wind down ones and stuff. And it really helped me sleep through the pain. It really did. Rory and I both did a couple of them too last week. And it just the silence. I mean, you get so relaxed. And sometimes there's like beats of silence and they come back and they're like, just start with, you know, and you're like, oh, right, yeah. But it's so relaxing, man, oh, man, Shevitz. If you go to calm.com/Sarah, you'll get a special offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, and new content is added every week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds. Calm is ready to help you stress less, sleep more, and live a happier, healthier life. And for listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/Sarah. Go to calm.com/Sarah for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/Sarah.
And we're back.
Hey, Sarah. Big fan of the podcast. Great job.
Sounds like you, Raj.
Animator, and I actually last summer got to animate your voice a bunch as an elf. And you're a great voice actress. I'm just wondering if you ever think about animation, animators as kind of like the visual part of acting for anything like that, and if there's any sort of animation, you know, visual gags or visual acting that you liked in the past, or whether it be your voice or just anything at all. I love a visual gag. You know, I love the creativity of like Looney Tunes or whatever. So just wondering what thoughts you have about that. And thank you.
Oh man, what brilliant work. I did this show Santa Inc. It's on HBO Max. I actually think they took it off, but, man, it was really cool. It was like stop motion, or, you know, like what they used to call claymation, or, you know, like those old Christmas claymation specials they used to have. It looks just like that. And the animation on that and the stop motion animation, it's like fucking brilliant. You know, it's mind blowing. And I toured the where they do it at Stupid Buddy. It's called Stupid Buddy Studios, which is Seth Green is the owner of that. And because they do Robot Chicken and everything. And I mean, every little eyebrow, every little expression is a shot that they reconfigure on the face of this little doll that is my character. And that was just aesthetically, man, that show was mind-blowing. To answer your question, yes, I agree that the visual layer of animation, it gives a whole other, at its best, an entire new layer of comedy, of everything, of emotion. It gives you a whole other layer, richness to the content. And in terms of my expressions or how I say things, when you're recording a character that's just audio, you're not keeping like your expressions neutral, you know? People only listen to this a lot. A lot of people don't watch like on YouTube, and they, you know, I'm still making expressions and moving my hands. That's just human nature. So they didn't do this for this one, Santa Inc., but for a lot of productions, certainly like when I did Disney, you know, Wreck-It Ralph, a lot of animated stuff, they'll have little cameras in the recesses of the room you don't even notice, but they're shooting you, your face, so that, and your hands, so that the animators can reference it. And it was so crazy the first time I saw Wreck-It Ralph, because this character that was looked nothing like me initially started looking just like me, and kind of even my style and my expressions, because they went off the way your face moves to make sound. You know, it's really neat to see. So I love what you do. And I thought the work, the art on Santa Inc. was just mind-blowing. So thank you for that. What else?
Hi. What brand of cigarettes do you smoke?
You're outing me. I outed myself. I obviously don't smoke, but I have this thing where I have one cigarette in the morning. And I still do it. The juice is worth the squeeze for me. And my doctor's like, one cigarette, I don't know. But no, I have no brand loyalty. I just always would smoke whatever people around me were smoking. Well, now no one around me smokes because nobody smokes anymore, which is good. But I smoke Parliaments because the last other person I knew that smoked was, and he probably quit before he died, but Harris Whittles, when he wrote on the Sarah Silverman program, he smoked Parliaments, and a couple other writers too. And so I was like, that one with the big space, why would you? But, you know, I didn't buy them, so I would just take them from them. And so that's what I would smoke. Before that, I smoked Camels because that's what people smoked. And before that, I smoked Marlboro Lights because that's what people around me smoked. And that's what I'd bum from them. And the first time I got cigarettes, I got Benson and Hedges Deluxe Ultralights. We shouldn't even be talking about cigarettes. I'm not suggesting cigarettes to anyone. Although, who was it that told me she probably wouldn't want me to tell you, but I'm still going to tell you. Beth Stelling was like, let's smoke Capris. Like, you remember those really skinny, like old lady cigarettes? She's like, she doesn't smoke, but every once in a while, like for fun, you know, she might have one. She goes, I had a Capri and it was so fun. So maybe I'll switch to Capris or to nothing, but obviously don't smoke. Like even like if I'm on a set and it's like, you know, 7 a.m. and it's time to have my like morning cigarette, I can't even like, they're Teamsters don't even smoke anymore. Teamsters know better. So hopefully, please know better. I'm just being honest that I do have one and it's stupid. But I love it. All right, what else?
Hey, Queen. So I've been listening to you for a while, and I'm 24, and I know you talk a lot about valuing your alone time and balancing that within your relationship and whatnot, and I'm the same way. Absolutely need my alone time and prefer to be alone most of the time, but I've had this like thought in the back of my head the past couple of years that if I get into a relationship in the future and move in with them, that I really want my own bedroom. And I'm single right now, so I'm getting ahead of myself. But yeah, I just wanted to know your thoughts on that. My friends think it's weird, but I feel like they don't value alone time the way that I do. So
yeah,
I wanted to see your thoughts on that as somebody who also values their alone time. I also just really hate sharing a bed with somebody. I always hated it in my past relationships. So yeah, let me know your thoughts.
My thoughts are your relationship can look any way you want it to look. It's your life. Like norms don't matter. Your friends, what they think doesn't matter. You can have a relationship, you know, as long as your partner's okay with it, that looks however you want it to look. And I gotta say, I had the exact same idea because I was alone for a pretty long time before Rory and I was loving it. I had time to really think about what was gonna be acceptable and unacceptable for me in relationship the next time I had one. And I was able to really establish that right off the top. And that was one of the things though, was I really wanted my own bedroom. I wanted to sleep alone. I wanted to, you know, have sex, do all those things, have fun, and then go to our own beds. And I still kind of love that idea, but it just really didn't happen. I could do that. I've got a guest room. I can trick it out however I want. But it turns out, and I'm shocked, that I love sleeping with Rory. I mean, I enjoy it. Do I enjoy sleeping alone when I'm like on the road in a, you know, in a hotel? Yeah, very, very, very much so. But this may not be your case. I just surprised myself and it turned out I enjoy sleeping with him, sleeping next to him. Even when he snores, I've got a little system that makes him stop. And it works out. But irrelevant. You should, you know, especially going into your not in a relationship right now, you get to set the ground rules and decide how you want to do the next one. And, you know, it's a, there are two people in it. So there's, you know, you have to both want that or have that be a compromise. It's nice when you realize you can curate your own life, however that looks, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. Doesn't have to be normal. Doesn't have to be what other people want or like. It's pretty cool. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Stephanie. I'm going through a breakup right now. This is someone I've been dating for a few years, living with for a few years, and someone with whom I thought I was in it for the long haul, or at least some kind of long haul, and I did not initiate the breakup. So I'm pretty devastated. And in addition to the, you know, normal devastation of a breakup that I've gone through before, there's an additional element, which is that I am now 41. And when we started dating, I was not in my 40s. And somehow, even though I know this isn't really true, I'm just plagued by all this societal messaging about what it means to be an unmarried, never married woman over 40, just the scarcity of available men. And even though I think all that messaging is bullshit, I find that it is sort of torturing me. And so my question is just any tips on how you learn to silence all of that nonsense? Thanks. Love the show.
I experienced just about the exact same thing. And mostly what I remember from coming out of that relationship was this repeating phrase in my head, just like, I don't know how to be, you know, because I went into it maybe 31 or something, and I came out of it 40. And when I went into it, I had so much prowess. I had so much power by way of sexuality. And when I came out of it, I was not, that was not my power, you know, and I didn't know who I was or how to be. I was totally atrophied, you know, meaning I went into this relationship a completely independent woman, and I came out of it not knowing like what phone service I used because I was with someone who took care of everything almost compulsively, which was refreshing and lovely at the beginning of the relationship and wildly controlling by the end, where I didn't know how to be alone. I didn't know how to, I remember moving back. Thank God I kept my old apartment and moving back into it and just being scared. And I never wanted to feel that way again. Oh, and I think that's probably why that for the next, you know, 10 years, I didn't even sleep over a boyfriend's house or apartment. I just, he could stay at my place, but I didn't stay there because I didn't want to lose myself again. It was pretty wild. I did not know how to be, yeah. I think that's probably how you're feeling. Like, who am I? What are my powers? I didn't grow into this age or chapter organically. I kind of felt like I got dropped into it. And I had been part of someone else's story for so long that I just had really lost myself. And I had not yet learned how much I needed to be alone every single day, at least for a couple hours, you know? So is this advice? I don't know if this is advice, but I am commiserating with you, and I got through it with aplomb. Do you pronounce the B in that? I got through it with aplomb.
I got through it with aplomb. You're going to figure it out. You're going to figure out who you are now, which is exciting and malleable and has a lot of possibilities. And you're going to learn, should you wish to, what you want and don't want in your life and future relationships going forward. And that's good. This relationship you are out of does not have to be in vain. The purpose of it, you could, I like to think that the purpose of it was to learn something and to get closer to that kind of holy grail relationship or lifestyle that works for you. Yeah, the purpose of it was to learn something, maybe many things. So what are those things? You know, what do you not want to repeat from that? What caused things to change in your view? What are your non-negotiables going forward? You know, that'll be fun to figure out. What do you like? What do you want? How would you curate your life moving forward? Work on this relationship, this one that you have with yourself, because this is the forever one, the real forever one. And then the rest will come if you figure that out, I promise. That I am sure of. And then if you're looking for a relationship, do the apps. I mean, honestly, that's how everyone is doing it. The apps. It's not like weird anymore. I think it's even, I mean, I don't know. If I were to go back to being single and go, I could meet someone in a bar, or I could fill out something with all my, like, things I want, things I don't want, religion, politics, blah, 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 and have that weeded out and presented in a list to me, I'd go for the latter. You're hot shit for someone, probably many, many people. So I wouldn't worry about it. My Auntie Martha is in her late 70s and has found great men on the apps. She's killing it. She's hot shit. I got my Rory at 49, so there is nothing wrong with still being alive after being youthful. It's fucking great. It's the goal, right? We're taught to be so ashamed, so embarrassed as we age as women. Again, women have no word for what men call emasculating. Like, what is that for us? Because we feel it a lot. And we are made to feel it the second we are no longer wide-eyed creatures. As soon as we are of the age where we have strong opinions and very much know who we are in this world, that's when we're incredibly encouraged to crawl under a rock and die. But the good news is that shit weeds out the garbage partner-wise. So instead of good luck, I will say congratulations and good luck. What else?
Here's some ads.
Chime, baby. Money can't buy happiness, but not worrying about money comes pretty motherfucking close. That's where Chime can help you smile more. They were just named the number one most loved banking app, with payday up to 2 days early and fee-free overdrafts up to $200. They offer financial peace of mind in your wallet. All of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. See for yourself why Chime is so loved at chime.com/Sarah. That's chime.com/Sarah. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. See chime.com/spotme. Chime was the 2021 number one most downloaded banking app in the U.S. according to Apptopia.
And we're back.
Hey, Sarah. First, I wanted to say I'm a huge fan, and you actually, about 10 years ago, inspired me. I read your book, and you inspired me to start wetting the bed, which I've been doing now for, you know, going on 15 years.
Thanks for that.
My real question is, with the craziness in politics today, I don't feel as though either party represents me or is going to actually do anything about some of the, you know, major stuff that needs to be addressed. But I also understand that a third party option is, you know, not going to win. But I feel, the feeling I have is that I've been lied to and just blatantly misled by the Democratic Party, and I'm sure a lot of Republicans feel the same way about that party.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have this urge now to protest, to go against the grain, to tell them that we're tired. And I know what that means. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Thanks. Love you. Bye.
I mean, don't make that cause you to not vote. You know, like, I know it's a big eye roll when you're like, well, it's the lesser of two evils, but there's like a real evil going on. There's almost a competition for who can be most evil. So, like, yeah, I'm so done with the Democrats, but I'm still fucking voting and voting Democrat. And there are some great people running, and it's so important to vote and get on the local level, especially, you know. But I understand, like, oh, it'd be great if there was a third party, and there is. There's the Independent Party. And there are lots of other little other parties. But, like, for instance, when Bernie runs, when he's run in the past, he runs as a Democrat. And there's actually a really excellent reason for that, is that he doesn't want to split the votes for Democrats. He wants a Democrat to, you know, if he runs as an independent, it will pull Democrat votes away, and he doesn't want to do that, you know. So he ran as a Democrat so that it wouldn't split the vote in terms of hopefully beating the GOP candidate. So that's how that works. But I feel very similarly, though clearly anyone I like falls on the left, you know. I'll tell you who I'm really loving, Pete Buttigieg, and I hope he runs for president again. I really have fallen in love with him, and I think he's the shit, you know? But yeah, in general, the DNC is garbage. I mean, leagues and leagues better than the GOP, which has basically become a hate group. You know, not a hate group, maybe more of a fear group. Like, they use fear to manipulate their base, and it works like hell. Literally, it works like hell. That's how hell works. You know, and it makes sense that this is so much of it is the Christian right. It's you know, hell is a made up thing to manipulate people using fear, fiery hell, which is less the case on the left, less so, much less so, but yeah. But yeah, the GOP are basically lunatics competing to be the most insane with their rhetoric. It's crazy. It's crazy. About 0% of that group is about serving their constituents. So I would say the left has more virtuous people. All this to say, yeah, sure, I agree. But within the parties, you will find someone you like best or despise least. And most importantly, on the local level, now that life and death laws are up to the states, you know, fucking vote. But I do think there are good people. I especially really like the newer crop of Democratic Socialists-leaning citizens that are running at the local level. Even though as a member of the DSA, I am grossed out by their seemingly unconscious elitism for like a group so focused on diversity. But I really, really love the people stepping up and running from that group. They just align with my values most, blah, blah, blah. Don't know if that helped. Hope it did. What else?
Hey, Sarah, how's it going? It's Matt. I'm a Jersey Jew who's been a big fan of yours for a long time. And I've been listening to your podcast now for well over a year. Make sure it's part of my weekly routine now. Always excited when there's a new episode that comes out. But the way that I found your podcast might be a little bit different because I use the Smart News app, which brings in articles from all That's different great. Points of view. Without that, I wouldn't ever see really conservative news sources. And at some point last year, maybe it might even be 2 years now, it just feels like I've been listening to you forever. But I saw an article from The Blaze talking about how you were calling out the liberals for something that they were doing. Because it seemed interesting to me, so I found your podcast and I've been hooked ever since. And I know you're very big on, you know, talking to people beyond their backgrounds and outreaching everybody. And so I'm sure that you love that other people who are hearing your message. But I was wondering how you feel about parts of your show being kind of cherry picked and repackaged for a different audience to serve a different agenda. Because that's kind of different than your main philosophy. So, I mean, I'm happy that I did because it brought me to you, but just really would love to hear what you thought about it. Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work.
For the most part, I really like it. I mean, just because it's, you know, I feel like I am so echo chambery because probably most of my listeners are liberal. So I like to be in front of a wider or different audience. But, you know, I can't, it's not always great, obviously, and it sucks sometimes, but I can't control it. If I say something on the podcast that the right wants to co-opt or repackage or misinterpret, there's nothing I can do about it. But I do like the idea of like I said, breaking out of my echo chamber and you know, preaching to the choir or like getting all your information from, you know, all like-minded sources is, I don't want to say useless, but it's not optimal. Yeah, so, you know, when The Blaze posts like a clip, at least I can control my podcast. And so if people pull a clip, it's from me. You know, if you do an interview, it can be torn apart and there's no kind of original source other than, you know, a conversation no one saw. So that I like, you know, something will happen and people will reach out to like my publicist and be like, they you know, so-and-so would like you to come on their show and talk about blah, blah, blah. And I'll just go, no, they can. I talked about it on my podcast. That's where I can like say how I feel. And so like, yeah, if like a right-wing site or whatever, The Blaze wants to write something about what I said and they post the clip, which they always do. I think that's great. You know, I'm not for everyone. I like to be in front of people that are different from me and vice versa. I think that's kind of the way to go, the way to navigate this crazy new world. Optimal way. I said optimal 3 times and now 4. And I will say it feels weird. You really swallow the end of that optimal. There's no way to go like optimal to really get the whole word out there. You kind of swallow the mole. Optimal. 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 I don't know that I think that's the most I've ever said that word in my life. Will you say it?
Optimal.
Yeah. Well, it sounds normal when you say it. All right. What else?
Hi, Sarah. I am a huge fan of yours. You're awesome. I wanted to vent a little bit about haunted houses. I'm a huge fan. I am a huge fan of haunted houses.
Me
and
too.
I've been told that I scream like a girl. But, you know, boys are not supposed to scream that way. They're supposed to go, But when you think you're going to die or you are being jump scared, and I like to be jump scared, that's why I'm at a haunted house, I'm going to scream like a girl. And why is that bad? And why is it called screaming like a girl? So, love to hear your opinion on that.
I can answer that.
Thanks for being awesome. Bye.
It's called screaming like a girl because it's just an antiquated sexist phrase, like throw like a girl. You know, whenever anyone screams, it's going to sound like a scream. It's going to be high-pitched and without control. It denotes fear. Toxies. I made that up for toxic people. You like that? No? All right.
you know, these toxic people will equate it with being a girl, any kind of weakness with being a girl, because they're terrified of human emotion. Poor things. So there you go.
And Dad, with that, I gotta say, we are wrapping up. Changed it up a little tonight, today. We are wrapping up. We are winding down. This is the time in the podcast when I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like watching with your eyeballs, check us out on YouTube. Subscribe there. All it means to subscribe is that you get a little thing that's like, a new one's out. But it helps us a lot. So do it. Do it.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, you fucker.